like to keep that open. That's something. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, text 29. If you could turn to page 238, find it. The text 29 is at the bottom of the page, and we're going to do the Sanskrit words in the word meaning section first, okay? Everybody sees that? So there's a word meaning section, and the Sanskrit words would go first. Tasya evam me anuraktasya prasritasya hatha enasaha shradadanasya balasya dantasya anucharasya tasyaiva me nuraktasya prasritasya hataina saha shradadanasya balasya dantasyanu charasya cha tasya eva me nuraktasya prasritasya hataina saha shradadanasya balasya dantasyanu charasya cha tasya eva me nuraktasya prasritasya hataina saha shradadanasya balasya dantasyanu charasya cha. Would someone like to please chant? Tasya eva me nuraktasya praritasya hataina saha shradadanasya balasya dantasyanu charasya cha. Did you want to try to chant the verse to show the Mahi Devi? Tasya evam me nuraktasya prasritasya hataina saha shradadanasya balasya dantasya anucharasya cha. Carolyn, you want to try? Tasya evam me nuraktasya prasritasya hataina saha shradadanasya balasya dantasyanu charasya cha. Right. Good. Tasya his evam thus may mine anuraktasya attached to them prasritasya obediently hatha freed from anasaha sins shraddhanasya of the faithful balasya of the boy dantasya subjugated anucharasya strictly following the instructions cha and translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I was very much attached to those sages. I was gentle in behavior, and all my sins were eradicated in their service. In my heart, I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses, and I was strictly following them with body and mind. So this is Sri Narada in his previous life, right? As the son of the maidservant. So please repeat. I was very much attached to those sages. I was gentle in behavior. And all my sins were eradicated in their service. In my heart, I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses. And I was strictly following them with body and mind. Srila Prabhupada's purport. These are the necessary qualifications of a prospective candidate who can expect to be elevated to the position of a pure, unadulterated devotee. Such a candidate must always seek the association of pure devotees. One should not be misled by a pseudo-devotee. He himself must be plain and gentle to receive the instructions of such a pure devotee. A pure devotee is a completely surrendered soul unto the personality of Godhead. He knows the personality of Godhead as the supreme proprietor and all others as his servitors. And by the association of pure devotees only, one can get rid of all sins accumulated by mundane association. A neophyte devotee must faithfully serve the pure devotee, and he should be very much obedient and strictly follow the instructions. These are the signs of a devotee who is determined to achieve success even in the existing duration of life. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharide Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama person is qualified with the qualities of the soul engaged in Krishna's service, then we see that there are no real qualifications, because a person may be good, may be so-called tolerant and kind to others, but if Krishna is not in the center, it's really not a good quality, in the sense that Krishna is separate from the quality. And the real quality has Krishna in the center. The real qualification has Krishna and Guru and the Vaishnavas in the center. So that's why these qualifications of the pure devotee are rare. Many people say, well, I see so many persons in this world who exemplify qualification, and they seem to be so good. But if they are not striving for God consciousness, then how can we really say that that is a good quality? An atheist may be very tolerant about so many things in order to attain money and sense gratification, and, you know, be really a nice guy at work, and just, you know, do all the necessary good guy things to attain what you know, material ends that person's looking for. So, and everyone else may say, such a good person, always nice, says hi, tolerates, you know, is a good team worker and all this. But that's not a genuine qualification coming from the level of the soul. So that's why these are necessary qualifications of a prospective candidate who's going for the pure goal of unadulterated devotional service. It has to have Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnavas in the center. Because we may think, well, you know, I've been a pretty good person in this lifetime, but separating our activities and our qualities and our talents from Krishna takes the one away, the one, the great one, the one that shows value. We just have a big zero without that one, that Krishna. So therefore, how are we going to find out how to do all of this, how to have the necessary qualifications? So Prabhupada's saying, such a candidate must always seek the association of pure devotees. So we may say, well, how do I know who's a pure devotee? Well, one thing is we know that Prabhupada should have some faith that Prabhupada's a pure devotee. He's bringing forth this knowledge and these purports and his association in so many ways, and especially through his purports. So we get to associate with the resident of Vrindavan, like they say, follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. And we may say, well, I'm not living in Vrindavan. And who's a resident of Vrindavan here in Denver, Colorado? Well, Srila Prabhupada's eternally a resident of Vrindavan. Eternally. So therefore, we follow Prabhupada and his representatives, and we're following the residents of Vrindavan. And not only that, Prabhupada said these temples, these oases, are none different than Vrindavan. We just have to have the vision and the faith. I remember one year coming back from pilgrimage in India, and after being away all that time in India, and the first time I walked back into the temple, and when we had returned from the pilgrimage, I just got such an overwhelming sense of this is non-different than Vrindavan. I mean, we know that intellectually, but it was a very strong 1 second glimpse and realization that was so powerful that I understood I'm in Vrindavan. It's just, you know, do you have the consciousness to see it and remember what Prabhupada said and desire to realize that this is also Vrindavan? So we're associating with the residents of Vrindavan in Prabhupada's ISKCON. And in that way, we're not going to be misled by pseudo-devotees. Prabhupada's talking about that here. One should not be misled. He's talking about having association with pure devotees and not being misled by pseudo or false devotees. So by following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, taking up his association, then we will be always led properly and we won't be misled. And if it should happen ever that we are misled for some time, if we just stay with Prabhupada's mission, things will get rectified. If someone is not bona fide and we had been following somehow or other, someone who's pseudo-devotee or not favorable, then Lord Chaitanya is kind enough to help us rectify it. As long as we want to be in association of pure devotees and want to attain that goal of pure devotional service, then any kind of difficulty, like following those who maybe fall down or are pseudo false or pretenders or whatever, in time Lord Chaitanya will rectify it. And we've seen it again and again and again, not only in the Shastra but also within our own lives in ISKCON. Any kind of difficulties, pseudo-devotees, or whatever it might be, our own heart of being a pseudo-devotee, right? We can think, oh, in my heart there's that falseness, you know? Maybe that false ego is still there in the heart, so I feel also there's that aspect of being a pseudo-devotee. I don't feel like I'm, you know, fully genuine. So that aspect may be there, and we may be introspecting and feeling like that. Okay, so just desire to be led by pure devotees and desire to achieve the goal of pure devotees. And these kind of things, these so-called obstacles, our own anartas and others who are misleading us perhaps, all those things will be rectified. Then Prabhupada's saying he must be plain and gentle to receive the instructions of the pure devotee. So sometimes we say simple living and high thinking, and then sometimes we say plain living and high thinking. So this being plain or simple is very good. We want to just be straightforward and honest and following the instructions of the Vaishnavas and the Guru. That's just being very simple. Very plain, very direct. It's not like a complicated thing. Things get complicated when there's mental speculation. Well, I think it should be like this, and my mind says it should be like that. So we don't want to complicate things with our mind making up all kinds of instructions and, you know, demands. Rather, be simple, be plain. Just take on the instructions of the pure devotees, and then there you go. No obstacle. The path for pure devotion is clear. So we're very much appreciating that it's clear path when you follow those who are surrendered. It's like the surrendered devotee has nothing in the way. A path that's clear has nothing in the way. So the pure devotee has nothing in the way. No anartas, no material desires, everything clear. So this clear path is there when we follow the pure devotee. It's not like we, you know, through our prowess can plow through life and become, you know, so pure, you know. Well, I'll just bulldoze right through this lifetime and through my prowess become a pure devotee. No, we take shelter of those who are already surrendered, and that makes them already clear simple. They're already, you know, on the clear path due to their surrender. So that person is the one we must follow. Now, what else about this pure devotee? He knows the personality of Godhead as the supreme proprietor and all others as his servitors. So that's very important. We know in Bhagavad Gita how Krishna gives that peace formula in chapter 5. The Lord is the supreme proprietor. You know, he's the one who receives offerings, and, you know, a jagya is all meant for him. And when we understand that, you know, he's the well-wisher, he owns everything, he controls everything, he maintains everyone, then we're peaceful, right? This is what Krishna says. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. So, you know, we don't have to worry about owning and controlling everything and, you know, trying to be a so-called friend to those who might give us some, you know, sense gratification. Just let Krishna be the friend to all, and we'll serve Krishna's servants and understand, you know, that he's taking care of maintaining and everything. You know, we don't own anything. He does give some quota to us to use in his service, or it's supposed to be for his service. So if we're trying like that, then we're gradually attaining more peace. And we're following in the footsteps of the surrendered pure devotees, and that is clearing our path for attaining the goal. And by the association of pure devotees only, one can get rid of all sins accumulated by mundane association. Sometimes we think, how is it possible? You know, I've come from such a terrible background and bad karma, and it doesn't seem possible. You know, we may kind of have lamentation and, oh, woe is me. I'm so sinful. You know, I wasn't born in a pious family or whatever. And so we see that we don't need to lament in a negative way about these things. What we do is we follow the pure devotees. By their mercy, all sins accumulated can be dissipated. And, of course, we're repentant for our past and we're humbled by it. That's good. Let that repentance and that humility push us on in devotional service and give us impetus in a proper state of mind, in a tolerant and humble state of mind. But we don't want to be unnecessarily lamenting in the way of the Shudras, so-called, where it's just sense gratification. You're just thinking of yourself, but in a negative way. So we're repentant, but we're trying to think of Krishna. What does Krishna want? What will please him? What will please the spiritual master and the pure devotees, and all Vaishnavas and all living entities? A neophyte devotee must faithfully serve the pure devotee, and he should be very much obedient and strictly follow the instructions. So this kind of obedience and strict following to instructions, faithfully serve, these days in Kali Yuga, it doesn't have, to most people, a very appealing, sound. Nobody wants to just be serving others all the time and obeying others. Because in the material world, you're usually just exploited when you do that. But in devotional life, the more you faithfully serve others, the more you obey and strictly follow the instructions of the pure devotee, the more you make progress. So in this way, we should shed or get rid of all of our misconceptions from material life, where we don't want to be obedient and we're more, you know, rebellious. Try to get rid of these kind of this mentality and be happy to be obedient to the residents of Vrindavan, to the acharyas. These are the signs of a devotee who is determined to achieve success even in the existing duration of life. So even in this lifetime, we can achieve this success. But we do need to take on that association regularly, right? More and more regularly, steadily, and more faithfully. So the regularity comes in bhakti yoga. By practicing bhakti yoga, naturally regularity will come. And that faith will come in the association of devotees, which is a very important, or sometimes considered most important aspect of the process, because through association you will gradually attain all the desired ends by that association. So this is the main thing here. And Narada Muni was explaining how this happened to him and how he was able to subjugate his senses through this process, and how he was able, with body and mind, to follow the instructions of these sages, and how he achieved the success. So I'm going to stop here if there's any questions or comments or anything to add. Any other personalities you know in the Bhagavatam who also achieved similar success? Yes, Dr. Noah. Yeah, some people don't want to hear, so give them prasadam. But others, you know, you can tell them what is nice.
I remember a friend that she was associated with Mayavadis, and she was also a devotee. But one day she said, "No, the Mayavadis seem so nice. What's wrong with the devotees?" And the thought that came to me is, the devotees are making great sacrifices. You know, for an atheist it's easy. Even Buddha said they can do whatever they like. You know, and the other person is suffering, making sacrifices, trying to please God. So of course it's going to cause some anxiety. You might, you know, be suffering in some way externally. But internally, the devotee is actually giving a lot of mercy. They might externally appear upset, disturbed. Even in the Bhagavatam, so many disturbances to the devotees, but actually they're always fixed on Krishna.
Right.
So it can be bewildering.
Yeah, it can be. Just say, like, if you're in the forest of material existence and you meet the atheist and the theist, and you need to get through that forest. So you have to make a choice. So, oh yeah, you know, the atheist, he's so nice. Maybe he'll be the one to take me through the forest. And then the theist, I don't know, you know. Like you're saying, sometimes we kind of belittle the theist. Oh, you know, maybe they're still on the false ego platform. And so, I don't know. But this guy, this atheist, he always seems so nice, so let him guide me through the forest. And then all he wants to do, all the atheist wants to do is exploit you. So he takes you in the forest, he robs you, and kills you.
There's a book called The Sociopath Next Door, and they say the sociopath, people that suffer from disorders of personality, I mean, you might all have something like that, but they especially can be really nice and sweet. It's all self-motivating. So I guess we all have a little of that being in the material world. Whenever we're trying to, as long as not here, we have motivations, we're not thinking of Krishna, we have some personal motivation. Even people who might rescue someone, you know, maybe deep inside, they just want to be noticed, they want to be recognized. It's all according to their nature, their karma that they've inherited from past lives. They might be inclined to do good like that. Mm-hmm. But still, it's all motivating.
Yeah. Prabhu, do you want to say
something? Vishaka brought this as something interesting. She said that there's a phrase in her book, she's talking about cheating and how most people do things out of wanting to be exhibitionists. So she said, even her writing, especially people who want to write, they especially are motivated to be exhibitionists. So she said, right? So in that section of her book, she's saying, but one was acting pious in previous life, and in this life it seems to have been a rather hated, engaging in devotional service of determination. So my question is, when we see someone engaging pious activity, and then tying that into the verses of the 12th chapter, it's almost like, not that we give it full, not that we say, well, that's the same as devotional service, but for that person that's acting piously, maybe opening, Prabhupada even says, right, doing welfare work, opening the hospital, a lot of times he's heavy on those, you know, this is mundane, but in that purport of chapter 12, he says those kind of activities will gradually lead to pure devotional service. So then, in that seventh chapter, it says those who have acted piously in previous life. So if we see someone in that mode, we don't really know what their journey is, because that may be a springboard of their next life, because right. They've acted piously. Although we don't compare it to devotional service, it's a Prabhupada a lot of times goes both sides. It's like, I'm doing pious work. Like Columbus even, in second canto, he said, becoming his previous devotional pious credits, he received the fame to become Columbus. He says he received this opportunity to become famous.
Yeah.
So, anyways, it's just that verse, I've always had a little interesting time with that verse. It says those are the act of piously. So that means when you see someone acting piously, in the next life, it may take devotional service because of that.
Yeah, we can definitely appreciate what they're doing. And at the same time, we make the distinction between, you know, the pure devotee and those who are, you know, self-motivated and the atheists, right? And so we can make some distinction in that level and see the value of pure devotion and the real qualities that are exhibited. And Tony, were you going to say something?
Oh, I got covered.
Oh, okay.
It's just what I know is that some atheists can be in a mode of goodness by donating money to charities like the children and things like that, and they might always do that, and they don't believe in God, but they do things already that are in God's nature, because Krishna is in them no matter what.
Yeah, they may not see it
as... qualities.
Right.
Because we each have the qualities. Yeah. So sometimes they come out without wanting to, for some of them.
Yeah, they may have passed pious credits, and they, in this lifetime, even though they're an atheist, they may give in charity. And so, like just Krishna Prabhu was saying, as Krishna says, just gradually, you know, through these acts, they can make advancement. But for us, if we're going to follow someone, we want to follow the pure devotee, right? And we see the difference between those who are atheists and those who are theists. We make a distinction. But we do appreciate any advancement and anything that any living entity is doing, because in the ultimate sense it's rectifying them and bringing them along the path.
I was wondering, what about the subterranean heavenly planets? I mean, there must be some qualification of good atheists, because they don't have any knowledge of God there whatsoever.
And they get there because it's such a nice place. You have to have done some pious, accumulated pious activities about godliness.
Yeah.
There's like the Brahmavadi atheists, the Mayavadi atheists. Yeah. There's atheists who are like bent on just offending Krishna, just offending the pure devotees.
Yeah.
You know, they may do pious works, but they're just very envious. And then there's like the atheists who are kind of, they're like Brahma buddies. They're just, I don't know about God, but I'll do some good works. And I like the devotees, I like spirituality, but I don't know about God. And it's just by doing some pious works, giving donation, and then somehow they get through. And then and that, I think Prabhupada, the 12th chapter, was saying, if you can't do bhakti, if you can't perform spontaneous service, do this. If you can't do anything, then do some pious work. Start recycling. Save water. Like he said, do some sacrifice in your daily life, and then because of that sacrifice, it will gradually lead to the ultimate sacrifice. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful purport.
Yeah.
It's probably saying it'll lead to the ultimate sacrifice if you start sacrificing.
Yeah, join the army.
Yeah, right. How can I say that? Go join the army. Do something.
Get a test of tasting the nectar of sacrifice.
Yeah.
I was reading about this from a while ago, I can't remember exactly. I couldn't find it, but I was reading about it, and it's kind of looking at both sides, and also Lord Brahma says that these meritorious performances derive some value from the people in general. But I think it was in the very Kanda meeting, he was saying that pious activities, they don't actually let you enter devotional service. What they let you do at some point is appreciate the devotees. Because devotional service can't be started from, pure devotional service can't be started from the material platform. So the bridge between the two is that appreciation of and touch of the pure devotee. That these activities, they give you some sort of demeanor where you can eventually appreciate a pure devotee and then you can jump in. There's something like that.
That verse is in a chapter.
Yeah.
Unless you have the devotees explain that.
Yeah. It seems direct. But it was kind of inserting that link, the link between the piety to the devotional service of that devotee association. That
it'll lead you to the devotee association.
Yeah, at some point you do a disposition where, it's just like a bridge that crosses over from that piety to.
Okay, so because of that pious activity, you come in contact with the devotee association, and that association gives you the determination to perform. Yeah. Then Krishna says, and he performs devotional service with determination.
Yeah.
That's a good bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the point here today, in this purport, the association with those pure devotees. Anything else? Yes. Just be pious, right? Like we were saying.
Yeah.
Take the bridge and join the pure devotees and make progress towards the ultimate goal, which is not just all this piety. So, but if anyone is truly pious and trying to be God-centered and still a meat eater, you know, like a lot of Christian saints even, so they will gradually be given the mercy to become fully Krishna conscious.
So your pious activities are more potent than your sinful activities?
Well, they certainly bring you to a platform eventually of goodness, which is a springboard to pure goodness. So that helps. But, devotional service is causeless, so even if we're very sinful, we get that mercy of the pure devotee. We can become freed from, it says here, from all those accumulated sins just through that association. We keep taking that association. Yes,
so living in the environment, he'll suffer his impious activities and he'll be rewarded in another lifetime for his pious, or suffer another lifetime for his impious. But unless until one meets a pure devotee. And of course, that's our business to preach and get people pushing us so that they can come to devotional service. Otherwise, unless someone meets a pure devotee, unless they're completely bewildered by this material nature, and Krishna will, send them towards the devotee if they give up on the material nature being so bewildered by it. And Krishna sees a living entity that's giving up, he gives him the opportunity to meet a pure devotee to rectify his whole life.
Yeah, that's the link. You have to have that link if you're a devotee. Yes, we will.
And this, so that point is supported. Like, it was said even about Jagga and Mandai, they were so sinful, but the only thing they didn't do was somehow they weren't directly offensive to the pure devotee until the Nittai thing, but then they rectified that too. Mm-hmm. So they had so much sin, but because they weren't offensive, they were able to get that mercy. So that pure devotee really was like everything.
Yeah, so we can remember the value of the association of pure devotees. And appreciate Prabhupada and his representatives. Jai, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.